you could abide in.
You are the very light that shines from the soul of God. And you have accepted a magnificent mission. Therefore, you have to be careful. You see, you don't have to pay homage necessarily to a Commander Hapan unless you're working within the mission. So somebody out there in Timbuktu who's never heard of Hapan ain't going to make any difference. And you can try to explain to that one who that Commander Hapan may be till you turn livid and fall over on your face. And they're not going, it's going to be you are nuts. You are also going to be considered nuts faster if you say, well, they're God. They aren't God. So you're making a mistake there too. They're a reflection of God. They are the messenger sent, the host that God always sends. Now, I am sick and tired of taking all the responsibility and all the blame of that. You are the host. Oops. Right here at Christmas time, I did it. Laid a trip off on you like that. I'm just here to knock on your head. As our friend in Florida said, he calls and he said, this is 2x6. This is who? Well, it's a 2x6. It took more than a 2x4. So how many of you are 6x12? You are the guide. You are the manifested energy forms of the host. Please. You have to understand if you ask a long question what you're going to get in response, sir.
This is right in line with what we're talking about. Hey, these. Spiritual matters, situations. 18 months ago, another character in this room and I went on a little journey in May of 92. And while we were gone, you wrote a bunch of information about symbiotic relationships. Mike and I got into this real good. We didn't understand it. We talked about it as if we did.
Well, those are the best arguments.
And little by little, it began to get clear. And basically, it is that we came from somewhere and we landed up in this place and we are really incomplete. We haven't got our act together, and we will not get our act together until something happens, something missing.
What do you think is missing?
And the thing that's missing is our counterpart. This is the symbiotic relationship. Somewhere, somehow, someplace, our mate is not with us. That's what's missing. And in the not too distant future, this mate is going to join us. And when that mate happens, joins us, then the symbiotic relationship is actual, true in the illusion or Maya that we're in. So that's when we're going to begin to really operate like we are capable of doing. So the question comes in, please explain, to the extent that you will and suggesting fit, the symbiotic relationship. I hate to say, give us some kind of a time frame.
Oh,
but I'm going to say it anyway.
I cannot abide a liar. But it takes one to know one. What did you want to know about it?
What I want to know about it is we know we got to stumble and fumble and flop around until this, I don't know about we, but some of us are on to this. And we want to kind of get a hint so that in our own fumbling, stumbling way, we can operate better. Does this have anything to do with Pleiades and Pleiadians? I don't know, I'm asking.
Yeah, it does. Explain to the audience, though, what you mean by symbiosis.
Symbiosis.
Let's be explicit about what we're talking. I'm going to give you a school lesson right now. If you cannot be explicit, then nobody can even know what we're talking about. So, I don't care what you mean. I don't care what the meaning of symbiotic association or symbiosis means. I just want to know what it means to you.
What it means to me is we are here in a third dimensional biological situation in as far as all the Maya, the illusion, the physical is concerned. But there is this connection of godlike.
Are we talking about then symbiosis being a connection?
Yeah, a biological connection.
A necessity to some extent.
With a higher counterpart, a mate.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's male or female, but I was like...
You're hoping, though. That's why he sticks around so long. He was a priest for all those years, and now he's really concerned.
Haven't happened yet, and I'm just hoping.
Well, I dare from telling it's going to be a male because he'll leave.
I will not leave.
No, we can't get rid of him.
So that symbiosis is we're going to get a biological counterpart from somewhere. We're going to tie in with this biological whatever it is. And at that time, you're really going to be able to operate.
Well, you don't have to wait that long. I hear you, and now you want to make yourself comfortable because you've just done it. I can do 5 hours on a short question.
Please do. Please do.
Which one? I could just say yes and adjourn the meeting and allow you to think about it because you will know. In the instance of, let us just talk about journeys and purpose and intent and what they are concerned about, is because now it's coming back that even Mr. Green lies about the relationship with them. And Mr. Green is now saying, you know, that Justice Judge Quadre, priest, father, forgive me. Well, I know that you do, but we have to take turns here. Has said that Quadre, you know, had a wonderful vacation over to the Philippines last year at the expense of the Institute. Padre took out everything that he had saved for the years to make that trip for you. The money coming from this direction, from the EJ, came from friends and relatives who have a little bit then coming back to them for making up a little bit of difference for expense money. And these ones went over and they waited and they searched and they found. And it's taken another year to weed out the George Greens from the situation. The ones who thieved, stole, took, and botched up what it appeared to be botched up. Never underestimate God. Symbiotic relationship, I don't know about that too much. Because obviously I am not far away. And there is great symbiosis between you and me. All of you had your training to come to this place for this mission in Pleiades. You had to remember what it was like in the third dimension, and it's like now the years roll around. How could I ever forget, and yet I am not even allowed now to experience it. It is gone before I can really get into my work. That's because you are working toward the reality in an illusion. But what he is talking about is this incredible emptiness of never finally getting something finished that you started. And I cannot give away all of the information regarding a mission to even ease them. It is not healthy that they know. It is certainly not healthy for the other parties involved for them to know. And it is incredibly important that Dorman not know, other than vaguely, as some progress is made. So when I come down and I say where the parties are involved, I have to do it in such a way that it only means something to the receivers of the information, not to Dharma. And we've had to go about this hop, skip, and jump game to the point it makes all of us look like we don't know what we're doing. But I believe that, as with Wally, I believe that Ed and Mike can confirm that I knew exactly what I was talking about, if no one else did. Let's hear it, right or wrong. Enough to make your hair curl, huh, Padre? In the Philippines, under the Philippines, is the greatest city of all the earth. Will it rise up like its sparkling step at some point to be the new Jerusalem we thought would come down? What do you mean? There is no up or down. Where do you want it to be, and what do you want it to be, and do you want it to come up or down? Well, it would be nice if it came from somewhere where we got other things going, sir. Okay, then let's decide it will be there. That's where your atmospherians are from Pleiades. And the ones over there, well, why don't we do this over, let us say, in Cancun? Well, there's other stuff going on in Cancun. You don't have to worry about. But that's where you have a whole collection of Pleiadians. And they're coming up every now and then now and experiencing a human form. And they're like naive little children, and we have to thump them with the 2x6 too. Hot dog, it's field day. We're going to go and see what those turkeys up there do. They stick out like sore thumbs, too. Usually blonde, blue-eyed, you know. Now we're in a good physical form. Because, you see, there's more than you. When they get ready to manifest now, they know to manifest in it the most beautiful form you've ever seen. And we have a lot of trouble with them. And they're curious like children. You think you're going to be staid and marvelously effective and sedate and whatever when you make your ascension. Oh, you're going to be like idiots. I see it now. Look what I can do.
Yep.
Yes. Pleiadians will be inhabitants of your place. They have to be learning. You have come in a different form. You have come to serve in this surface hell. And yet it is no more hell than you allow it to be. This is the creative process. And you like to sit back and call it hell. Because that is a cop-out. That lets you off the hook. Well, it's hell anyway. No, you're in the process of creating. And you will create whatever it is you want to create. And the more of you trying to create in a coalescence of thought projection, the more apt you are to get created what it is you think you're after. That's why you must form your goal. And if your goal, because if it is a physical goal, you are in massive competition with the adversary. You're on his territory. And you will never beat your enemy in the physical form. He will always deprive you of your guns so that you will not have anything with which to fight him, and you will consider yourself beaten. This is why he has removed everything of power from the word. So that when he has your gun, he has your food, he has your boat, he has your craft, he has you, you roll over and you are dead. And he has trained you that you must play against his arena to somehow be worthy of your godness. I refuse to take the mark of the beast. What is the mark of the beast? Anyone in here want to share it with me? Is it a barcode? Is it a computer? Is it a tattoo? Is it a star on your forehead? Is it a pentagram? What is it? Social Security isn't anything. That was a Roosevelt thing. It's an illusion. You've already been marked by the beast. He's after you. But you've also been marked by God. Now, which is going to win? Ultimately, yes. So it means inside, intent, soul, whether or not you are marked. And there will be nothing of the physical plane that can mark you if you are attached to God. Does that mean that it can't touch you? Of course it can touch you. They're going to back you right into a corner. So you have to take the mark that they have proclaimed is the mark of the beast. Did you hear me? They have proclaimed it. God, I mean, come on. You can continually back me into a corner. Well, you're going to tell me. No, I'm not. because it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what you think. And if you think it is a barcode, you're going to miss the tattoo between your eyes, you see. The adversary is a lot brighter than that. He has worked for eons of time to make you stupid and crazy and dumb and sleep. And then he's going to creep in here and give you a hint as what the mark is, so that all good Christians will not accept the mark. You may as well be in flat land and you're the only one with your hand up. First in line for the concentration camp, where it makes it even harder for you to do anything. But one down for him. One less problem for him. Because once he puts you in the concentration camp, you'll say, "See, I told all of you. Better get your guns. They're coming after you next. Hot dog," he says. He even knows where to send the SWAT team. You've got to come out of the illusion of physical. Your goal has to be beyond the physical. "Well, I don't really want to just wait, God, until I've ascended and it's all up there, because I'm stuck here doing this." Right. And yet you claim that it is to go beyond. And yet you do everything to make sure you're stuck here in this physical thing. And you are doubly put upon because I insist that we get a remnant through here. Well, you're giving me an ambiguous... You're telling me I have to have a symbiotic relationship with this food. Yeah, until you learn that you don't need any of it. And your body knows you don't need any of it, and your soul knows. So that your soul energy knowingness will supply to that body what is necessary. In case you don't have anything. And yet, why would you do that? You are expressing in the physical. Why don't you live in the physical? This is why I have no patience with the hermit who goes to the top of the mountain and he says, "I ain't going to be in none of that, and I'm going to just ascend, make it from here." Well, he's going to ascend very fast unless somebody helps him or he took something with him. Because the greatest gurus of all time have not been able to, on a permanent basis, sustain body life with physical functioning consciousness. And I know that you studied ones are going to say, "Oh, there's that yoga, whoever, you know, laying in that coffin still alive after 13,000 years. No, he's not. The body may be functioning, the soul may be functioning, but they are not in consciousness, participating in a symbiotic relationship that means living. So don't fool yourselves. Can you do it? Yes, you can. Will you do it? I hope so. I hope so. Meanwhile, we plant the spell. Next, I know the very ones with already the frequency boxes. We can energize the spell from one little black box across the field. A lot of things that we can do. And therefore, you have to understand that I am your other symbiotic counterpart. And it isn't me, however, that at this moment, that of which he speaks. That of which he speaks is a God relationship that short of there is no one whole. You are merely making steps in progression. And the farther you diverge from God in your activities, the more lonely you feel. the more misplaced and restless you feel. Doesn't mean that you can't function. It doesn't mean that you can't have these goals. But that big hole in the midsection just nags at you. And you're lonely for it. So you're lonely for God. You're a long way from home. And you're having to do a job that is sometimes distasteful, most of the time, at best, interesting. And all the while, you're having to struggle not to fall off this ledge that you've agreed to walk. Because part of the agreement was that you would not remember except a little bit in front of the other students. So it is simply a time of remembering. And you're lonely to fulfill the memories. I know that if I could just remember, and sometimes we go through this toward morning, and for a brief minute or two, and this is through your agreement, I just can't go back, Father, and face another day in this absolute void of knowing when I know that I know. So maybe for 2 minutes after you come back into consciousness in the morning, you'll have it. You'll know it. And it will be so vivid to you that you think, there is no way I will ever forget this moment. 5 minutes later, you try to tell Joe, oh, it was so wonderful. What? If I could only remember. And another thought that will often come is that of remembering that you agreed, and that you agreed it was all right. That memory will stick in your conscious mind. I know that I knew, and I know that I agreed, and it's okay. It won't make you less curious, less wanting to know. It is just a knowledge and a knowingness that says, I know I am part of it. And I know I agreed. And I know that it's soon. Well, soon in God's language and soon in yours seems to have a great discrepancy of timing. And yet, within, at that knowing level, you know it's okay. And yet it doesn't mean you're not going to have a tantrum at 10 o'clock. You know, beat your feet and your head and say, I just want to remember. And then I think I can go on. And I just want you to know it's okay. Over in the area in which you two, and now there will be others, will be functioning, they already know. And that ticks you off. Sorry, but that makes you angry. Why do I have to sit here going through this while they get to see the ships coming up out of the ocean? They get to see the atmospherians floating by up the trail. They don't even think anything about it. There they go. Doesn't even seem to interest them that they're a foot and a half off the ground. There they are again. And you're all sitting in this room. If I could just see one of them. It's not enough to see those colored lights farther up there in that sky. It's too far away from me. Well, then bring it down here where you are. But what you're really looking for is that plugs up that hole. And only your return to God will do that. You will have great, great feelings of arrival and having found. You'll have one when I show up. Because with me will come a team. And yeah, I'm going to bring a very pretty lady. I am going to bring Sanyasi with me. Mm-hmm. When would you like? Are you sure you're dressed right? What would you do different if you knew we were going to show up in the next 2 minutes? How many of you would leave to go home and change clothes? Or, I know Rick would. I've had a problem with Rick and seniority ever since, you know, Rick came here. Leah's another one that suckers men in with the soft voice. She's also one of the most incredibly capable commanders. She was so incredibly capable that I sort of was embarrassed, you know, at what they were going to think of me when nothing changed when I left the craft. And she took it. These are your brothers and sisters. And I don't mean that like the preacher saying to brothers and sisters. You're going to find that in some of these instances, they are really fully enjoying themselves because some of you smart asses took on this role. Now, this is fun. And when you go back to visit, they are in command of that ship. And you know it's your command, and they are just treating you like nothing. Don't get in my face. You know. Well, it comes with the territory. That's what you're waiting for. And it's a drag. You try to keep interested. And yet, as you are accepting your roles, and it seems like nothing is fitting your time schedule, that's what's wrong. Nothing fits your time schedule. Good grief, nothing you work at ever works out like you thought it was going to. So something's really wrong here, God. You failed me, God. Who? Working out just exactly like God looked at it. Well, it ain't nothing like I looked at it, sir. Well, to you ask. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'm going to pout, and I'm going to be rotten, and I'm going to, you know, I don't know. That's another thing I'd like to take up with you, God. That's why you pray. That's why you never lose sight of God. You never let a commander, you never let a being, another fragment, and especially another person interfere. And that's why we don't get up and form a big circle in this room and all face east, and then we bow and scrape and we do things. What I am talking about is so incredibly personal. And you're not going to cop out with God through my command by dumping your load on the one whose hand you're holding. You know, EJ's gone through this. Well, I'm going to sort of wait and see what he does with Dorma. You know, surely he's not going to chop my fingers off if I'm hanging on to Dorma. Don't count on it. The hatchet boy can do that. But the hatchet boy doesn't have to do that. Because if you believe enough to hold to the ones that are holding to God, you're not going to be left, are you? You may be dragging along, flopping in the breeze while you're trying to catch up. But if your intent is not ultimately to be with God, you will be working very diligently to go somewhere else. Everybody hear me? It doesn't mean good or bad or even misperceptions at the moment. It means coming into a recognition and a willingness, but a demand for that connection. if you don't say, God, I just, you know, I tell you, I can put up with a lot of stuff that's coming down here, and I don't care if I've created it. As long as I've got that connection. And God will look at you, smile, and say, I didn't break it. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm right here. Right here. Yeah, well, I demand that you not let me flop off in the wrong direction either because I'm stupid. Oh. Oh. Father, I demand it. I demand it. You know what Father's going to say? Okay. I hear you. I hear you. I'm not going to let you go anywhere, precious. But you've got to maintain that connection yourself. Just like you've got to demand healing, if you're ill. Because God's not fooled. He knows why you want it. And it's for some confounded, silly, human, physical, selfish reason. Unless there's a lesson involved, you won't get it. You can't fool God. And so your connection is so incredibly personal. That to get out there, and these fundamentalists, born-again evangelists will say, you must verbally confess. Call the prayer line right now and confess. And send money. Confess it to the world, is what they say. Why? Why? Your symbiotic relationship is with God. And it is nobody's business. And if you get out there on the rooftop and you shout it, there are two reasons. One is I am so full of it, man, I just can't contain it, and I'm going to shout it out. That's wonderful. That's spontaneous. But if you think it's going to be that God will hear you more clearly, then you're wrong. He's already heard. Because you are the manifestation. You're going to have to experience it. Because you've manifested into a situation where everything around you is a physical expression. In a given play, headed very definitely now toward an Armageddon, toward a new world order, toward a total rule of man, physical, by a very hard demon. But he knows he's lost. And for that reason, handling your expression properly here, he has to leave you alone. But that does not mean that he won't be as clever as he possibly can. And that is almost perfect cleverness. I say almost because God gives you the insight. If you're willing to accept it and work at it and know and learn, you will become the perfection of the shrewdness of his opposition. Oh, I can't hold that all in my head.